message. We're going to look at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in a few moments in our next time, our next session together. I know this might take you by surprise, but after the first Sunday in December, I feel like it's like obligated to preach about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ till Christmas. And those messages are hard for me because I feel like we want to take a fresh look at a story that we all know. And so I actually, if you want to know the truth, I spend more time on Christmas messages than any other message throughout the year, just because I just want to come at it from a different angle. And we'll try to do that today. Bring some fresh thoughts about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was able last night to go to Raleigh, to speak in Raleigh, and I was in the back seat of a car, and I had some time, which I never do, and I just pulled out my Bible and began to scratch this out. But oftentimes, I speak things that are on my heart and mind. I speak challenges to myself, and they become messages. I hope that makes sense. But this is what's been on my heart the last few days. I want to read some verses in Numbers chapter 13. This is a complete and utter failure in the nation of Israel. There's times that, and I don't want you to do that today, but there's times that you could look back and you could reminisce and you could look at your life, and there would be a few times in your life where you look back at your life and just thought, what a terrible decision. What an awful decision I made. And yet in the nation of Israel, from the Old Testament standpoint, it's probably no worse moment in the history of this nation than when they simply would not believe God and move into the promised land. We have a greater rejection of the Lord there in the New Testament in the crucifixion of his son. But this is just a moment of moments in the nation of Israel. I want to read some verses. We'll read quite a few to set the tone. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back the word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And he told them and said, we've came unto the land which thou sinnest, and surely it is flowing with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of the land. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the edge of the Jordan. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. And the men that went by, the men that went up with them, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone to search, the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof with all the people that saw it, and in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, who come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we would die in the land of Egypt, or would God that we die in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up into this land to fall by the sword, and our wives and our children should be as prey? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and go into Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation and of the children of Israel. Let's drop down and read verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be before they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them. I remember being a young man. I was about 20 years old. I came home and spoke to my parents about circumstances and situations in my life. And it was ridiculous. I was 20 years old. And I remember my mom saying to me, like I was 8, "Son, why don't you go to your room?" It wasn't even where I was living. I was living in Raleigh at the time. "Son, why don't you go to your room?" And I went to my room like a child. And I remember hearing my father's voice. Many of you know him. None of you know him as well as I do, or as well as Sadie does, or Cesar. But I just remember hearing the tone of his voice, and he was just far from breaking into anger. It was just a breath away from just sheer anger. And he was also just a breath away on this side from just absolute lament, absolute tears over his son. And I just remember hearing the tone of his voice as he spoke to my mother, not far from anger, probably in this case righteous anger, and not far from lamenting, in this case actual lamenting. He was just right there, and I heard him say to my mother, "How long? How long will our son be a boy? How long before he turns into a man? Have we not raised him to be a man? Have we raised him for foolishness? How long must we go before our son turns into a man?" I remember. I read this verse in Numbers chapter 14, and you just see the voice of the Lord, and he's just so close to wrath. And he's just so close to lamenting. And he says this, let's read it again. "And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be before they believe me?" It's very similar. Do you know what these people have seen? I'm not talking about you, Doug, and me. I'm talking about this generation. I'm talking about these people who remember there, as we read this morning, standing at the Red Sea, and God himself parting the sea, and God himself allowing the nation of Israel to walk across dry land, and God himself covering the Egyptian army with the waters of the Red Sea, and God himself saving them. They saw it. They witnessed it. They walked through the Red Sea. They saw manna, the God's provision, day by day. And the picture is there in the Old Testament equivalent of the New Testament life, that we would take the manna every day. And I'm part of it. I deal with retirement plans in my job. And so we store and store and store, and these are the ways of our culture. But in the days of the manna, it was day by day. "I'm going to feed you today, and you're going to eat, and I'm going to provide for you tomorrow, and I'm going to take you through the wilderness with manna from above." They saw it. They lived it. They knew it. They came to the place in Scripture called Marah, to the wilderness of Shur, and the waters were bitter, and the Lord told Moses, "Just cast a log, throw a tree in it," and the waters became sweet. They saw the provision of God day by day, week by week, month by month, and they come to the promised land. The promised land that God had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. They saw the hand of God bring them out of Egypt. They saw the provision of God on a daily basis. They saw the provision of God with water time and again in the wilderness. And yet they came to the promised land and they stood at the door of the fulfillment of God's promise. And they said, "We've seen giants. We see obstacles. We see problems." And they lamented. And they wept. and they became delirious. Let me tell you something. When you're a slave and you're delivered out of almost 400 years of slavery, and you come across and you eat and you're free from the bondage of the Egyptians, and you claim that it would be better to go back into bondage, that's delirium. That's delirious. That's foolishness. To desire or to think that we ought to raise a captain and go back into bondage. But yet they proclaimed it. And so the Lord says, how long will it be before they simply just believe my word? Do you know what happened? It's a sad story. It's a sad story. But do you know what happened? They didn't go in. They stood at the line. They stood at the border. They stood at the crossroad. And they heard the testimony of the Lord had been true. He told them it was a land flowing with milk and honey. He told them it was a good land. And the word and the report came back that that was true. Here's the fruit of the land. And it truly is a land flowing with milk and honey. But there's giants. There's problems. There's a foe. They stood at the line. And they simply would not believe. And they turned and walked away. Do you know what happened? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation was dead and gone. Ridden, the nation of Israel, ridden themselves from that generation that simply looked at the promises of God and saw the wonders and miracles and signs and said, we don't believe, so we're not going to take the promises of God and move forward. And that whole generation had to wander the wilderness for 40 years till each and every one of those souls were dead. I pray that our generation is not like that. Perhaps the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock and pillar of truth, has to get past this generation. Perhaps we are like them. I pray that's not true. Perhaps each and every one of us in this generation have to die and be gone before the church of the Lord Jesus Christ can move forward in the promises of Jesus Christ and the power of the gospel. I pray that's not true. But that's what was true with this generation. They saw things that we tell our children and our grandchildren about, these great miracles of God, but they did not have the faith to move forward in and of themselves. Is it time to walk in faith? Is it time to grow up and be New Testament believers whose sole priority and sole mindset is to do the work of the Lord, to do the will of God, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to consume ourselves with the needs of the Lord's people here at Fair Bluff, and to move forward with the work of the Lord? It's time. It's time. We look at this culture, said another way, that simply will not believe, that knows the heritage and the faith of our forefathers, of those that came before us in the United States of America. I'm not talking about just presidents and senators. I'm talking about the faith and the heritage of this nation. Many believers have come before us. Many believers have given their life to the Lord. And yet this culture today has no clarity. We have to make the distinction that if we walk in faith, we have clarity. We know the purpose of life. And yet this culture denies all things of the Lord Jesus Christ. This culture denies the Creator. This culture lifts up flesh and sin and denies the power of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see in this culture what you see in the Torah, a wandering, hopeless generation who knows no truth. Isn't that what we see? Isn't that all around us? We are not and will not talk politics, but this nation does not know right from wrong. This nation does not know male from female. This nation does not know truth. And yet, if we walk in faith, if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, there is purpose in life. What a sad generation this is. What a sad culture this is. Because our doctrine has turned from the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ in 60 to 100 years. It has turned from a Christian doctrine to a doctrine where there is no hope. Sad. And you wonder why depression is rising. And you wonder why this young generation walks around knowing not right from wrong, with its head in a phone, playing video games, amusing themselves because there is no purpose in life. Christians, the line is drawn. I know we can preach this gospel message to come into the promised land. I know we can make the application to the unbeliever to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to cross the line and believe and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and praise the Lord for that message. It's applicable here. But what about to the believer to live the Christian life? Not to move by sight, but by faith. Faith in the promises of Jesus Christ. I thought about this last night as I was driving to Raleigh. I saw cars on the interstate. You ever seen these cars on the interstate? Sometimes I drive around and I'm like, that's a $70,000 truck. And that's a $60,000 car. You know, this is some nice vehicles out there. Drive around Charlotte. I mean, I was on Park Road today. I pulled out from my, spend the night with Homer and Mary, my father and mother-in-law, and like pulled out. There used to be a little like 1,300 square foot house across the street there on Park Road. And now there's like, these houses are just beautiful. Talk about paneled houses. These are $1 million houses all over Charlotte. We have wealth. There is money. You can see it. But there's no hope. There's no joy in the Lord. And the doctrine of the culture is, you do you. It's about you. You make your decision. You do what you want to do. It's not our doctrine. We have a captain. We have a leader. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he never did what he wanted to do. He always did what his Father wanted him to do. And when it was complete, when it was finished, when he had done what his Father had sent him to do, there on the cross of Calvary, he said, very frankly, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. Father, into my hands do I commit my spirit, and gave up the ghost. Guys, we as New Testament believers have a sure hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not at all standing behind a pulpit and becoming arrogant and saying we know, they don't. No, Jesus Christ has saved us. Jesus Christ has delivered us. Jesus Christ has been our sacrifice on Calvary's tree. And the purpose of life is before us. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is our message. And the banner over us is love. And we go and do the work of the Lord, but we have to go in faith. How many times has the Lord showed you? How many times has the Lord revealed to you? How many times has the Lord loved you? And yet you come to these decisions in life and you ponder, there's giants in the land. There's foes before me. You walk in faith. Not as a coward. Should the Lord say of you, how long? How long would it be before Stephen Harrell believes? How long will I suffer with this man? Before he walks in faith, you walk in faith. Not in arrogance, in humility, and in faith. No matter the foe, no matter the circumstance, you stand on the promises of God.
I saw these cars. I've seen the houses in Charlotte. I've seen the wealth of this town alone. And I say to you this, as I've said before, we have nothing but the promises of Jesus Christ. When it's all gone, we will have the word of the Lord. And we shall stand upon it. I remember,
as we close, I remember a few months back, there was a clip on Facebook. Don't get doctrine from Facebook, okay? Be careful.
I shouldn't quote it behind the pulpit either, I guess.
But I remember about a year ago, there was this little snippet of a message from Billy Graham. I listen to Billy Graham messages, and I think to myself, these are messages I hear all the time. This is not profound. This is not different than I hear from any other man. Yet the Lord just chose to use him. And I remember he was talking about Habakkuk, and he was talking about the will of God, and he just made this statement. When it's all gone, when it's all burned up, when it's all decayed, when it's all gone away, we will know and we will have the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just heard the tone of his voice and the sincerity in his words. And I heard the way he said it, and it moved my spirit and it moved my core. This is what we have. The promises of Jesus Christ. And how quickly we should, and how eagerly we should be to cross the line into clarity and purpose in our life, to follow and pursue the promises of Jesus Christ. They are yea and amen. Does it matter? Does it mean that it's easy?
Does it mean that there won't be problems? But it does mean that we'll know the joy of the Lord. It does mean that we'll have the peace that passes understanding. It does mean that we'll have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we'll carry it forward.
Don't wander.
This nation is wandering. This generation is wandering because they have turned into chaos and away from the promises of God. I pray not me. I pray not you. You stand at the line and you walk in faith. Till we see his face. Let's pray.
Father in heaven, we're thankful for simple thoughts of the word of the Lord, for simple challenges of scripture about a generation who saw wonders and signs and miracles like no generation had ever seen. And yet they came to the crossroads, and yet they came and heard the testimony of there's giants in the land, and they cowered to the corner, and they wandered for 40 years, murmuring and complaining until they died, each and every one of them. Father, we pray that's not us. We pray that it's not another 40 years of wandering and meandering through this life till the Lord's generation has died away, until there arise another generation full and sure of the promises of God. Let us walk in faith. Let us walk in truth. Let us have the courage not to see the culture and the doctrines of this nation, but turn and remember the doctrines and the truth of the name of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us walk in faith. Let us be a testimony till our voice fades away and we see his face in the eternity that is in front of us. Father, encourage us. Father, through the Spirit of God this morning, we pray that you would take these words, put them into our hearts, that we would remember that the promises of Jesus Christ are what we have, and it is enough. We pray in his name. Amen.